Well, good morning. If you have your Bibles, and I hope you do, turn with me this morning to Leviticus chapter 17. We're going to be looking at verses 11 through 19 together. This morning, we're bringing to a close our Back to the Basics sermon series, Discovering God's Game Plan for Our Lives, and we're looking at the X's and O's of the faith. This morning, we're looking at the importance of being grateful, the importance of being thankful. Take a moment where you're at, and we're going to have a little bit of participation today, okay? What are you thankful for? Just shout it out. What are you thankful for this morning? Family. Sunshine. Is that what you said, sunshine? Okay. What else? Snacks. There you go. Grandkids over there, snacks. This church. Salvation, yeah. Health, yeah. I think we have a lot to be, what, God? Yes, good. I think we have a lot to be thankful for this morning. I don't think there's anybody that would disagree with that. But oftentimes we go through life not living thankful lives, but oftentimes thankless lives. Not because we're intentionally being thankless, but sometimes we get so caught up in life that when a blessing comes our way, we just overlook the importance of being thankful for whatever that blessing is. A story is told of a man who got lost in the woods. He explained his situation by describing with a group of friends how frightened he was about getting lost. He was lost, he was cold, he had no food. The situation was dire. In faith, he knelt down and he began to pray. And someone asked him at that moment, "Did God answer your prayer?" And the man said, "Oh no, before God had a chance to answer my prayer, a guide came along and he showed me the way out." Have you ever found yourself like that man? In an episode of The Simpsons, now I know all of us in this room are too holy to watch The Simpsons, but I think all of us are familiar with The Simpsons. There's a bratty kid on there by the name of Bart, and one evening at dinner time, his family asked him to say grace, and this is his prayer. Okay, this is a nationally televised show that's been on for over 36 years. Thousands of episodes have been produced, and this is this kid's prayer. "Dear God, we prayed for all this stuff ourselves. We paid for all this stuff ourselves, so thanks for nothing." I mean, that is national television for you right there. That right there kind of tells you what's wrong with our society. That is the kind of gratitude we often express. I think all of us would agree with this statement: genuine gratitude is in short supply today. This morning, we're going to read the story of Jesus healing the 10 lepers. Jesus is just days away from entering into Jerusalem. He's just days away from people lining the streets to worship him. They're going to sing praise to him, and they're going to sing, "Blessed be the name of the Lord." They're going to cry out, "Hosanna." They're going to lay down their coats and allow Jesus to ride over them. Man, Jesus is going to have a triumphant entry. He's just days away, though, from Judas betraying him, from the religious leaders arresting him, from Peter denying him, from being tried in a criminal's court. He's going to hear the people cry out, "We want Barabbas." Pilate's going to say, "What should we do with this Jesus?" And they're going to say, "Crucify him, crucify him, crucify him." And that is exactly what is before Jesus at this moment. So this kind of gives you an idea. We're 3 years into Jesus' public ministry, and he's on his way to Jerusalem, and we come to this story in Luke chapter 17. So beginning of verse 11, we read, "On the way to Jerusalem, he was passing along between Samaria and Galilee. And as he entered a village, he was met by 10 lepers who stood at a distance and lifted up their voices, saying, 'Jesus, Master, have mercy on us.' When he saw them, he said to them, 'Go and show yourselves to the priest.' And as they went, they were cleansed. Then one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back, praising God with a loud voice, and he fell on his face at Jesus' feet, giving him thanks. Now, he was a Samaritan. Then Jesus answered, "Were not 10 cleansed? Where are the 9? Was no one found to return and give praise to God except this foreigner?" And he said to him, "Rise and go your way. Your faith has made you well." The first thing that I want us to see this morning is I want us to see the condition of these men. It was a tragic condition. Leprosy was the most feared disease in the ancient world. Leprosy in biblical times was second only to dead bodies in seriousness. In Leviticus, well over 100 verses are dedicated to the seriousness of leprosy. If a person thought that they might have leprosy, they were required by law to first go to the priest to be examined by the priest. And if the priest thought that you might have leprosy, you were then isolated for 7 days. After that 7-day period was up, you'd go back to the priest. And if the priest still thought that you might have leprosy, you would be isolated for another 7 days. After that 7 days, you would come back to the priest. And if it looked like you had leprosy at that point, then what would happen is you would be required by law to go and live in a leper colony for the rest of your life. They would go throughout life with their clothes torn, their head covered. They would have to wear a mask because leprosy is an airborne disease. They would have to go throughout life. When they got into proximity of other people, they would have to shout out, "Unclean, unclean, I'm unclean." These men had no hope, they had no friends, they had no contact with the outside world. But notice how these men responded to Jesus. First thing that we see here, our first subpoint, is their positioning. In verse 11 and 12 again we read, "On the way to Jerusalem, he was passing along between Samaria and Galilee. And as he entered a village, he was met by 10 lepers who stood at a distance." You know, wherever Jesus would go, there would be a crowd that would follow him. There probably wasn't a single person in all of Israel and the known world that had not heard about what Jesus had been doing. These lepers had heard that Jesus had been doing supernatural things. And they get word that Jesus is about to pass through their town. And so the first thing they do is they go and position themselves within proximity of where Jesus is going to be so that they can have an encounter with him. Has there ever been a point in your life where you've gotten so excited about maybe a going to a sporting event, maybe going to a concert, or you get word that a dignitary or someone popular is coming to town and you want to see them? Has that ever happened to you? Man, yes, good. I don't get excited about a lot of things about people coming to town or anything like that, but I remember when I was probably about 11 or 12 years old, lived in Wiley, and I got word that the Von Erichs, Chris Adams, guy by the name of Kabuki, they were coming to our high school to wrestle. Man, I remember being excited about that. I remember when we got to the high school, I remember going and sitting in the stands at the far corner where the wrestlers would be coming into the gym, because I wanted to see those guys. Man, I was excited. I was pumped up about that. I can just imagine these men. Man, they get word that the man responsible for healing the blind, the mute, the deaf, and the lame, others with leprosy like them, Jesus was coming to town. You can bet that they camped out because they wanted to experience the same kind of miracle that all those others had experienced as well. And when they showed up, notice what they did. In verse 13, "And they lifted up their voices saying, 'Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. These men acknowledged Jesus by name. Not only did they know his name, but they recognized his authority by addressing him as Master. When these men saw Jesus, they lifted up their voices. And this is a big feat because apparently leprosy attacks the larynx. So for them to have cried out to Jesus, to have mercy on them, it took every bit of them to do that very thing. These men sought the mercy of Jesus. Please know that Jesus will never turn a deaf ear to our Christ. He hears every single one of our cries. Now, how he responds to our cries may not be how we want him to respond to those cries in that moment, right? But regardless, he still answers every cry that we usher up to him or lift up to him. Notice in 1 John 5:13 through 15, we read, "I write these things to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life. And this is the confidence that we have toward him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And if we know that he hears us, then whatever we ask, we know that we have the request that we have asked of him. He hears us when we cry." Even as Jesus taught us to pray, he made it clear that when we pray, we don't pray for our own will to be done. But notice what Jesus says in Matthew chapter 6 when we pray in verse 9. "Pray then like this, our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven." It is not our will be done, but his will be done. We pray not for us to get the glory, but for God to get the glory. Just as he hears our cries, you can be certain that he heard the cries of these 10 lepers. Notice our second point here is Jesus' tremendous compassion. In verse 14 we read, "When he saw them, he said to them, 'Go and show yourselves to the priest.' And as they went, they were cleansed." You know, according to the law, these men deserved nothing. They deserved to remain as the outcast that they were. But Jesus, right? But Jesus got involved in their lives. In all of his goodness, Jesus took notice of these men and he heard their cries. That in and of itself is amazing. Again, these men were outcasts. They had been declared by the law as being unclean. Jesus himself is the author of the law, is he not? He had already declared in history's past that these men were unclean and they were to be unclean for the rest of their lives. Yet in this instance, Jesus took notice of them. Let me ask you a question this morning. Who has the Lord placed on your heart that you should be helping? Who has the Lord placed on your heart that you should be taking notice of this Thanksgiving, this Christmas season? Who has he impressed upon your heart that you need to reach out to and encourage? Maybe reach out to and provide a meal for them, or to reach out to them and just lay your hands and pray over them. Who is it that the Lord has placed upon your heart? If there isn't anyone, then begin now asking, Lord, who is it this Thanksgiving season that you would have me reach out to bless? The words that Jesus would speak next were most likely not the words that those men wanted to hear. They wanted to hear, as all of these others that had been healed, be healed. Or your leprosy is gone. Or be healed and go and sin no more. Those are not the words that they heard. Jesus told them to go and show yourselves to the priest. Why would they have to go and show themselves to the priest? What could the priest do for them? The priest did not heal them. And in fact, it was the priest that declared them to be unclean and sentenced them to a life of isolation within a leper camp for the rest of their lives. But what we see in these verses is a remarkable display of obedience. So Jesus said, go and show yourselves to the priest. And what did these men do? They went, didn't they? They didn't go back to their leper colony. They didn't go find a tree to sit under, to cry and pout. They went as they were instructed to do. I'm sure as they went, they were scratching their heads trying to figure out, what are we going to tell the priest? Man, he knows we're lepers. He's already declared us unclean. Man, they probably walked away. They may have been kicking a rock down the road trying to figure out, man, why? Why weren't we healed as the others were? They knew Jesus could heal them. They just did not know why he didn't in that instance. How many of us would have responded as they did? How many of us would have gone to the very man that most likely sentenced us to the leopard camp to begin with to say, hey, look at me. I was told to come, but I still have leprosy, but I still obeyed and I went. How many of us would have responded as they did? But what these men demonstrated that day is faith. We're told here that, and as they went, they were cleansed. And can you imagine that? Can you imagine walking away from the voice of Jesus being unclean, still having the sores and the open wounds on your body, still probably being in absolute pain as you walked? I'm sure for these men, every step that they took was excruciating. But what happened, man? They take one step and they're still unclean. They take another step and they're still unclean. They take another step and they're trying to figure out, what are we going to say to the priest when we get to him? They take another step and they're unclean. But then they take another step and all of a sudden they're clean. All of a sudden there's no trace of leprosy on their body. There's no more open wounds. There's probably not a single scar upon their body. Just in an instance, they were absolutely clean. Not just one of them, but all 10 of them. I can't even imagine what that would have been like. These men had lived with this disease for potentially years or decades. And all of a sudden, they were cleansed in an instant. They went from having sores all over their body to being 100% cured. God honors faithfulness, doesn't he? He honors our obedience. He honors us doing as his word instructs us to do. Think about Hebrews chapter 11, man, the great faith chapter. Within this chapter, the writer records both men and women, man and woman after another, of their faithfulness. Within this chapter, we read, by faith, Abel's life still preaches on today. By faith, Enoch walked with God. We read, by faith, Noah built. By faith, Abraham obeyed. By faith, Sarah conceived. By faith, Isaac blessed his children. By faith, Jacob blessed his sons. By faith, Joseph provided shelter for his family in Egypt. By faith, Moses delivered the Israelites from Pharaoh's captivity. By faith, the Israelites shouted and the walls of Jericho fell. By faith, Rahab hid the spies. By faith, by faith, by faith, by faith, every single one of these faith champions heard a word from the Lord and they obeyed the voice of the Lord. These 10 lepers knew the stories of these great faith champions. They had read them, they knew them, but what they didn't know is one day they would be included in the greatest story ever told. All they knew on this day was that Jesus told them to go to the priest, and they went. And as they went, they were healed. Notice our final point this morning. There's a thankful convert. 10 were healed, but only one demonstrated a heart of gratitude. Notice this one's response in verses 15 through 16. Then one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back, praising God with a loud voice. And he fell on his face at Jesus' feet, giving him thanks. Now, he was a Samaritan. Only one man turned around and fell at the feet of Jesus and worshiped him and said, thank you. And we are told that this man was not a Jew, but this man was a Samaritan. Now, if you know anything about Samaritans, man, they were outcast. The Jews thought Samaritans were half-breed traitors. They did not like them. They thought they were worse than second-class citizens. For this man to be a Samaritan was bad. But for him to be a Samaritan leper, just ramp that up a few degrees. That was even worse. This man was from the wrong race. He had the wrong religion. He had the worst possible disease. This man may not have been versed in Jewish law, but he had a heart of gratitude, didn't he? He knew Jesus had healed him, and he knew enough to be grateful to God. That is why this story is in the Bible. Luke doesn't tell us directly, but it's pretty obvious that the other nine were most likely Jews, and he was the only Samaritan. What this story tells us is that the ones that should have been the most grateful were the Jews, not the Samaritans. And the one who shouldn't have come back did come back. This whole story pictures life as it really is. It is a picture of God's amazing grace that he extends to all men, women, students, and children. And it is also a picture of our ingratitude that we often show toward God and toward others. This man did nothing to deserve God's grace, but God extended it to him anyway, didn't he? 10 people were healed, but only one person was healed and saved by grace. Next, we see Jesus, and really we see his heartbreak here. He questions this one man. In verses 17 through 19, again we read, "Then Jesus answered, 'Were not 10 cleansed? Where are the 9? Was no one found to return and give praise to God except this foreigner?' And he said to him, 'Rise and go your way. Your faith has made you well.'" Now I think there is a little bit of heartache here within Jesus' words and his voice. Jesus wanted to know where the other 9 were. Man, why didn't they come back and say thank you for being healed? Ray Pritchard shared, "This is a good question. Why didn't they come back? Perhaps they were in a hurry to see the priest. Perhaps they thought Jesus had already gone on to another place. Perhaps they assumed Jesus knew how grateful they were to begin with." Here's an amazing fact. You look at these 10 lepers, and they all appeared to be absolutely the same. All had leprosy. All were outcast within society. All had heard about Jesus and believed in Jesus and believed that he could help them. All cried out for healing. All appealed to him. All obeyed his word, and every single one of them was healed. On the outside, they appeared to be identical, but on the inside, they were different. One returned, 9 went on. One was grateful, 9 were not. One man found forgiveness, 9 did not. One man got 2 miracles, 9 got 1. All 10 were healed, but the Samaritan was healed and forgiven. Jesus said to him after his worship session, "Rise and go your way. Your faith has made you well." If you and I are not careful, we too could find ourselves just like these 9. I think the 9 were very religious men. I think they studied the law and they knew the law. They may have been good dudes, but when given the opportunity to thank the author of the law, they missed out. You and I oftentimes find ourselves probably like these men. Instead of being grateful, we live thankless. Charles Spurgeon points out, 10 men prayed, but only one praised. Let us praise the Lord for his goodness. He went on to say, "There are far more people prone to pray during a time of need than to praise God when he meets that need." Do you pray hard when times are tough? Only when you get on the other side of that tough time to go on about life as you always have? Or do you take time to praise God for His goodness? Paul wrote in Ephesians chapter 5, verses 20 and 21, "Give thanks always for everything to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting to one another out of reverence for Christ." Do we give thanks sometimes or when it's convenient for us? No, we give thanks all the time as we're called to do. He also wrote in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, "Rejoice always, pray without ceasing, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you." Man, let's be thankful for people. You know, when we started this service, I asked you to just speak out some things that you are thankful for. And I heard things like family and salvation for our church family, for God. I think we also can be thankful just for the opportunity to worship freely this morning, for these great stories that remind us of the importance of saying thank you to the Lord continually. You may be here this morning, and you may not be a believer. If you were to die today, you may not know where you would spend eternity. And if that's you, in just a moment, I'm going to be standing here at the front. I'd love to share with you more about how you can enter into an eternal relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. You may also be here this morning, and you have been praying for opportunities to bless others. And you haven't yet, God hasn't revealed to you, or you haven't heard God say who it is that you need to bless this Thanksgiving. Begin praying for God to allow us to be the hands and feet of Jesus so that we can show others who Jesus is through the good works that we do, so that we have the opportunity to share the good news with them. Let's stand together. I'm going to lead us in a time of prayer. If there's a decision you need to make, you come. Father God, we come before you this morning just thanking you, Father, again for the opportunity to worship you, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, Father. Just thank you, Father, for every man, woman, student, and child that's here today. Father, thank you, Lord Jesus, for stories like this in the Bible. Father, we are brokenhearted, Father, that only one returned. But Father, I think that this story reminds us that if we aren't careful, we can get busy just like the nine did and fail to return to you and say thank you for all of the good things that you have provided us. Father, help us to not just be busy people, but help us to be fruitful people. Lord, I pray, Father, that if there is someone here this morning that does not have a relationship with you, that today will be the day of their salvation. Father, move now, for it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. If there's a decision you need to make, you come.